Thank you. Hare Krishna. Can I request you to please move a little bit forward, because we are expecting devotees to come, and then they will find their place easily. I'm very excited today. I'm really in ecstasy about this. I shouldn't say it before, but I'm also a private person. I like this workshop very much. You will hopefully also get something out of it. Yes, I want to again greet all of you, and I want to greet our internet audience who is so kindly with us. I want to also encourage you, that is the devotees who are looking on the internet and participating, please try to set the time aside and not do so many other things, if possible, and especially be there for the exercises, because the exercises are really meant to help you to go into the experience of what we are talking about. And let us always remember that experience is often a very great teacher. We may understand something theoretically, and then we have a certain understanding of it, but when we have understood something practically by our experience, then we have another type of realization. And with this, I want to come to the first part of our workshop. I want to again request Bhanu Nandini to talk a little bit about the complaint-free rubber band, because I feel you are doing it sometimes, but you're not yet applying it and getting the full benefit out of it in a way which is best for you. See, it is not about the rubber band. I wouldn't give this to grown-up people. It's really about practicing tolerance, which is so important, so that we can enter the Trinadapi Shloka. But I don't want to say something which maybe is on the mind of Bhanu Nandini. Please.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, welcome to our Friday retreat. And yes, we have noted that many of you are not really practicing, as Maharaj said. So we were wondering, are they now really so pure after these 2 days, or did they just forget? Or maybe it's just not in their habit to use this rubber band. And then, as I spoke yesterday with two devotees, and I asked them about their feedback, what they think about this. So listen to this, what they said. So one devotee, he said, they're two friends, and one devotee felt really, really bad about a few things. And then this devotee started to complain with his friend, share with his friend. And in his sharing, you know, he came so much into the complaining mood, and he said, this and that, then that his friend actually was looking at him and was starting to feel, oh my God, he's complaining so much. And he just wanted to move the rubber band because his friend was complaining. And then the friend noted this, and the friend was like, oh, I'm complaining. So I found this example very sympathetic, you know, how it's not only helping us, but even if you complain, and others see that you are complaining and they want to change it, then you notice, oh, I'm complaining again. I came out of it. So I found it very nice. And yes, it's like Margaret said, it's not about the complaint-free rubber band, but it's actually really about changing the perspective. And there is also a nice video which I was trying to find for you, but unfortunately I was not successful. Maybe we'll find it during this retreat, or if not, then maybe you would like to do this at your home. And it's in YouTube, and it shows one man who's complaining very, very much in a restaurant. And then suddenly someone hands him some glasses, and he puts on the glasses, and at that moment he sees, seeing through those glasses, he sees of everybody who actually stepped on his toes was just searching out for love. And in this way he understands actually everybody just needs to be loved, and this is why people act in certain way toward us. And this helps very much to change the perspective. So if it's helpful to you, you can maybe also, if something happens, think, how could I change the perspective now? So this will help you actually to really, like you said in the beginning, change the atmosphere which is in the mind. And then just one other thing is, please also try to share with your friends, or if you didn't come here with friends, you can maybe find a buddy, this is how we call it in other retreats, somebody you can, just meet and talk and share about all the experiences which you're going through. What did you learn in classes? How went the day for you? Did you have some difficulties? This will also help you to digest and better imbibe or absorb all the subject matters which are taught here during the retreat. And just a practical announcement is that all those who are missing the Lotus chart, which we showed yesterday, they can tell me or I can distribute to you, but please come to me after this class. And also some of you have asked about recorded lectures of Maharaj, and they're being recorded. And at the end of the retreat, Guru Hari Prabhu will give you these audio lectures, all of you who are interested, so you can take home with you. Just that you know, you don't need to do your own recordings. So thank you very much and have a nice retreat.
Thank you. I would like to now go with you to your Bhajan Rahasya Lotus. If you have the sheet of paper, please take it out. If not, we will reflect for you on the... We have now arrived in Sri Shikshastaka 3rd verse. Maybe you can give me the Trinadapi Shloka. In this verse we learn about four qualities which are required for chanting the holy name. If you want to really chant, and you have to somehow develop these qualities. And if you can't chant happily, then you can usually make a checklist. You can go through the qualities. Am I humble? Oh, no. is there some situation in my life where I should be more tolerant? Yes, yes, very much so. Am I ready to respect others or... am I just hungry for my own respect? You can check and work on these qualities, and if you are successful in working at them, you will find that your chanting will go very, very nicely, and you can chant for 24 hours without any interruption and boredom. Yes, yes, yes. So this this verse helps us, or practicing these four qualities helps us to come to this level, which is called nishtha, or being fixed. Remember when we talked in the morning class about how humility and tolerance are possible for us? Do you remember? We said, as long as you are identified with the body and mind, it will be very difficult to be humble and tolerant. But if you come to the identification on the spiritual platform and you are a little bit fixed, at least intellectually fixed, that will help you to say, who cares, you know, who cares that he called me, that this person said he thinks my nose is too big. I mean, anyways, not the nose, you know. And it helps you to be tolerant. This evening we will then do this leela, Purvahana leela. It's a very beautiful leela, and I should tell you that all these levels which we have understood here are related to the third pair of the Hare Krishna mantra, the third pair of names, that is Krishna Krishna, that Krishna Krishna sound vibration means to chant in a humble state of mind, with understanding you're not the body. Fine, this is just an overview for you. I do this every day so that you can learn how to read the Bhajanarahasya Lotus, which really encapsulates or which describes in a simple picture really what is the Shikshastakam prayers all about and how it relates to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Really, it was for myself a revelation. I was pointed out this book, Bhajan Rahasya, many years ago, I think 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and I have always taken this with me when I do my own japa retreats, means when I go on retreat myself and just chant a whole month, usually in Vrindavan or Jagannath Puri, or in the past also in Mayapur, slowly reading it every year, trying to understand it every year, it all came together, and now I'm very happy to really tell you how Mahaprabhu's instructions, 8 instructions, how they refer to chanting Hare Krishna, how they help us. Good. Having said this, I would like to take you on an overview now over the third chapter of the Bhajanarahasya and tell you a little bit about the road, how the ideas develop, and then we will make out of the third chapter a practice. We will really go into a deep chanting experience. But before I start doing this and taking you on the journey, I want to see if you have any questions which are left over from the lectures, from the workshops or the evenings, or questions which relate to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. It's very important for me to take these questions. So I saw Krishna Kirtan first, then I saw Smarahari, he will be the next. Here is Mandaleshwari, and here is, don't tell your name please, because I wish to remember it, Pujarini. I mean, it means I'm happy that I, because usually I forget names. Good, Krishna Kirtan.
Maharaj, you were talking about the instructions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Raghunath Das Goswami.
Yes.
To this.
Which reference is it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? It's in the Antya Lila, and it's just here, Discovery. Yeah, Antya Lila, 6th chapter, text 236 to 239. That is all, Krishna Kirtan? That's, yes. Smarahari Prabhu, what is your question?
Maharaj, my question is, this morning you talked at some length of developing humility.
Mm-hmm.
To what degree does humility, is it compatible with one's role as a teacher, since Srila Prabhupada wanted a preaching mission in which even the youngest bhakta is expected to explain to people the benefits of Krishna consciousness. And mm-hmm. Srila Prabhupada himself would even take the stance of calling scientists and materialists rascals. So how does one square the abject humility to which one is expected to achieve with being an instructor and sometimes correcting others.
Is it? Have you all understood the question acoustically? And also our Vince Prabhu, they can hear in the internet. Yes, it's such a good microphone.
Yeah,
it's
very close to
the mic. Very close. See, for service, a devotee may have to act in a way which is apparently not humble. He, for service, gets up, he talks louder than everyone else, he drives down a point, he corrects maybe a misunderstanding in which the people have, but it must be clear that this is done for service. A very good example of how a devotee acts for service in a different way than he would act if it's not for service is Govinda Das, the personal servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His service was, he had many services, but one of his services was to give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a foot and leg massage after he had taken his noon meal. So once he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do his service of massaging him, when he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was already resting and he was lying in such a way that, let me say, the frame of the door was here, he was inside the Gambira, and his legs were here, you know, they were not accessible. So Govinda Das took a chadar, put it over the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then stepped over the body of the Lord into the Gambira room to have access now to the legs and the feet. While he did this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell asleep. And after some time, the Lord woke up. And he looked in the Gambira, and there in one corner, Govinda Das was sitting and waiting. He had not gone out of the Gambira again to take his own meal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Govinda, you waited all this time while I was resting? Yes, my lord. Yes, Govinda, why didn't you step over me again and get out of the room to take your meal? And Govinda said, my lord, for that would not be have been proper because I would have to step over you. Are you Govinda? You stepped already one time over me to get into the room and do your massage. Then you could have stepped another time. And then Govinda said very lovingly, for your service, my lord, I am prepared to go to hell even. I am prepared to do this stepping over offense for your service. But for my sense gratification, for my eating, I'm not prepared to do this. I'm not prepared to step over you. So, am I clear? Do you understand his logic? So, for service, we might sometimes have to do something which is different than what we don't do for service. And we must be very sure that we do whatever is this different thing for service. We must really be sure. We should not just say this, I'm eating now for service, this unoffered food, so that I'm strong and healthy, you know, or make excuses. No, we should make very clear in our consciousness, okay, for service, we can also be strong, we can also talk strong philosophy, but for our own self, We should be humble and gentle. Mm-hmm.
So Maharaj, is it fair to say that an aspiring devotee should be more careful in his dealings with devotees than he is with norm devotees in terms of humility and...
Our Smaraharri Prabhu points out in his question that...
No, I'm asking, I'm not
asking, asking in his question if we should be more careful when we deal with devotees than with non-devotees. Definitely. Devotees are special people and need special treatment. And I always see this as a preacher. When you deal with devotees, they have sometimes different motives and they're not so easy to understand. So you must be a little bit more sensitive in preaching to them. Definitely.
Thank you.
There was, I remember, other devotees. Mandaleshwari, yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. My question is similar is but okay,
Smaraharri Prabhu. He is my godbrother, very, very wonderful devotee.
Very kind, even to the phone.
Hare Krishna.
So, okay, related with devotees is different, but anyway, in during the life, you know, life, and we are meeting different people during different stage of life. And then in many years, it was my really big question, because I felt that as a devotee, you have to be tolerant. You have to tolerate. And I made it in my case many, many years. And then I could not tolerate. And I did something else. And I get very good result in my Krishna consciousness. Result is just disaster. And then when I finished with my tolerance, so it became many lots of no spiritual experience.
I think yes, Mandaleshwari, the very necessary question. See, when we talk about tolerance, we mean things like. Things which we have to tolerate, whether, you know, some austerities which bring us to Krishna consciousness, or if someone crosses us. But tolerance, but there is another thing which I feel you are addressing, that is when something is wrong, and it is very obvious that it is wrong. At such a time, we should not tolerate the wrong thing. And now comes the difficult question. When do you know when to tolerate? And when do you know that you have to become like a fiery volcano from Persia, like Mandaleshwari? You know, that is the question. Where's the border? And I really want to refer you to an answer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which I feel is maybe not so clear, but if you think about it, it might be clear. You have to listen to your, now comes a difficult English word, conscience. The voice of your conscience usually knows, because the voice of the conscience is... can be a voice of Paramatma, Krishna, within the heart. You know, when you go into a situation and your conscience tells you, all of a sudden this, now stand up, you have to hold your ground, you have to tell this person it's wrong, and this is not how you're willing to continue in the relationship. A very strong statement. If it's the voice of the conscience, it's usually always right. And maybe that's why you got such excellent results in exploding. You know? you have to learn, it takes a little sensitivity to distinguish the voice of your conscience from the voice of your mind, where there is anger or any reactionary activity. The voice of the conscience is often telling you a third possibility, not yes and not no, but something else, something which is unexpected, something which is not within your usual repertoire of doing things. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this very nice. He said, listen to the voice of your conscience to decide what is wrong and what is right. You have to train a little bit. I'm developing a seminar. It's almost finished. It's called The Higher Connection, which is all about this getting in contact with the super soul and finding out what is now from him, what is from the mind, you know, distinguishing the voices. Yeah. Good. I think we had three questions. We need to go on with the seminar. Even if there is a question, hold your question for the next opportunity which you have. So thank you for your questions. Now I will take you through on a road, or I will request you to all jump into my rickshaws now, and we will ride down the road of the third chapter of Bhajan Rahasya to just have an overview over the subject matters which Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about in illustration of this third verse. And then very quickly I want to come, I hope everything is ready, to our active learning thing. See, there are 19 philosophical verses in this third chapter. And then there are also verses on the Leela. But the Leela we will do in the evening. Out of these 19 meditations, verse meditations, and I will teach you how to do these verse meditations in about 10 minutes, I think. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a practical process how to obtain this fixed spiritual platform which is necessary in order to be truly humble, to come to this soul platform. He recommends us to practice Sharanagati, the sixfold path of surrender. It's too long to teach this, but if you would like to learn about Sharanagati in your life, I strongly recommend the song collection Sharanagati. I heard we have 3 or 4 books left on our book table, which you could look into, and if you like, take home with you. But there's also Sharanagati on the internet for free and so on. So practice Sharanagati in order to come to this platform of Trinada Pisunichena. Next, we learn in a meditation that we are not the body, and we will do this meditation all together in a little while. And then we learn tolerance like that of the tree. Most of the verses which are in this chapter are verses which about developing deep humility. They are verse meditations, and we will do a few of them. And finally, the climax of the chapter is, after you have learned to surrender and after you are on the spiritual platform and you are tolerant, then you will see how in your heart an eagerness for service comes. One devotee talked to me today. We were after the lecture, and the devotee pointed at this beautiful picture where Krishna sits with his friends in the lawn of Vrindavan, on the meadow of Vrindavan, and I think one friend feeds him sweets. And this devotee said to me, "But Maharaj, this looks so nice. It looks so different from my life. But if I would like to join there, wouldn't I be impelled and forced by sense gratification. It's all about my sense gratification. And then I answered to the devotee, "See, my dear devotee," I said, "if you progress in your spiritual life through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, you will not want to go back to God because you want moksha, liberation from your terrible life, not terrible, but from your mediocre life. You will want to go back to Godhead to render service to Krishna, to maybe cook or to maybe feed him sweets also, or fan him, or massage his lotus feet, or do other service." This eagerness for service is discussed by Bhakti Vinod Thakur as a very important meditation in order to connect with Krishna. And at the end of the chapter, he ends with a cry for mercy, and we will also do that. So these are some of the highlights of this chapter, but I would now like to get into practice, because this is a workshop, this is not a school class. First of all, I want to say that the humility which we are looking for or looking towards in Krishna consciousness is very much a quality of the soul. As long as you identify with the body, you won't have any access to this humility. Madhvacharya says, it's in one of the purports of the 11th canto, when you identify with your body, do you want to know what the result is in your psychology? It's constant drowsiness, especially when there is Krishna Katha, you go like, you are out. And you will have unquenchable sexual desires. Do you know what that is? Unquenchable means you can't satisfy them. They are always there. It's always underlying your psychology. It's always, it may not be directly in the forefront, but you will try to get fame and recognition, which is a subtle form of sexual desire. That happens when you are really identifying with the body. Therefore, my dear devotees, if you want to be free from material desires, don't look too much in the mirror. You know, when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would come in any room with a mirror, he would put a chadar over the mirror, because he said, if I see, look at the body all the time, I might think that's me. So you get material desires when you identify. This is a subject also for Matajis, and I'm aware a good number of my audience is Matajis. You must be careful when you use lipsticks and schminka. Is it called schminka? That's a Yugoslavian word. Makeup, thank you. Then you might increase the identification with the body, and as a result you might suffer from material desires and just laziness for spiritual life. So bodily identification brings all these desires which burn all your mental peace and serenity to ashes. You must be careful. Now, if you identify with the mind, that is something which I think we all know. In ISKCON we say, Prabhu, don't be on the mental platform. That means don't identify with the changes in the mind. When you do so, you suffer panic, you suffer fear, you suffer hankering, that is also desires, which end in disappointment. And I can only say, last Japa retreat, we had the best of the actors in our European continent, our Syamananda Prabhu, who's with us today also. He maybe some of you remember, he played that dialogue with the mind. Do you remember?
Yes.
There was, he was there, and then he was discussing to his mind, which also looked like him, you know. There was on the screen, and they were interacting, and I could see that mind was so panicful. And so, you know, fear. When you are on the mental platform, and you identify too much with your emotions, this time I feel this or that and so on, you are always in fear, you are in panic and so on and so forth. I had an exercise, you know. Yesterday I received a phone call that this morning I have to speak to the GBC. And for me it's always, oh, I have to speak to the GBC. What have I done wrong? I feel like this. I don't know why. It was when I was a child, when I saw a policeman, I start to panic, you know, that he will throw me into the prison and so on. So there's something with me. So because so then I went like, my mind went like, oh, most probably they found out that I ate too much yesterday, you know, and then I said, but Sachinanand Swami, just please don't identify with your, don't be so mental, because you are fearful without any reason. They are nice people, you know them. They are your friends. You grew up in the same sandbox, you know, and so on. And then this morning I was, and it was such a pleasant discussion about very important spiritual subjects, and I could understand. Just my mind told me all of these foolish things, you know. It means it creates fears and panics and anxieties. That's what the mind does. Do you agree?
Yes.
Oh, good. I mean, good that it makes sense. If you identify with the intelligence, college students, this is something for you. Or students at all. When you are just always analyzing everything, you will suffer existential bitterness and frustration. You will enter a spiritual movement and with your intelligence try to figure out why did he say this and why did this happen, and look at this kirtan, everyone dances in the same fashion. This is really blind following, you know, I have read it and professor, doctor, I know it all, you know, and you suffer bitterness and ultimately frustration, especially when you try to figure out Krishna consciousness with material intelligence. It never works. And if you identify with your false ego, this is all body and mind, huh? If you identify with your subtle false ego, you will suffer from an inferiority complex. Oh, I'm so low, everyone is better than me, and I'm the most lowest and useless person. See, when we talk about humility, my dear devotees, it's a spiritual position. It has nothing to do with a material position, and it doesn't mean to think less of yourself, but it means to think of yourself less. Once again, humility doesn't mean to think less of yourself, it means to think of yourself less. Am I making sense in English? You're just no longer so much, a humble person doesn't think about the body and mind complex too much. You know, this is material. There are some movements in the body and the mind, but why identify? They come and go. But the moment you identify, the moment you lodge, how is it? You lodge in? Is it called lodge in? In the computer? You log in. The moment you log in, the body and the mind, boom, on the screen comes material desires, unquenchable things which burn your mental peace to ashes and panic and fear. Don't lodge, is it called log?
Log.
Lodge is something else. Log in the body and mind as thinking this is yourself. You know, then on your screen all this undesirable emotions come. So therefore, I thought now to guide you in a practical meditational experience which will bring you to the level of understanding you are not the body and the mind and chanting from there Hare Krishna. Would you like to do this?
Yes.
May I know how is the circulation all right, or should we do a little stretching exercise? Stretching. Good. This is my favorite part, because please get up. So those in the internet, please get up from your sofas. We want you to be part of this. I think I might need a little bit more volume on the microphone, because I will move the microphone a little. Thank you very much. I thought we should just do a little shoulder roll. I won't look at you because I know. The idea is here, whenever you breathe out, you bring your shoulders down, and when you breathe in, you bring them up, right? And try to bring them as much in the back as possible. The idea is really to open your chest and to really breathe. We want to get a little oxygen in. Do we have the windows open, Santosha? Good. So now comes the exercise for which I have become world famous. On an exhale, you go into your knees. Then you inhale yourself up. Now, you bring your sacred behind a little back as if you sit on a chair, right? And simultaneously, concentrate, no laughing, it's very serious. Simultaneously, you bring both your legs behind. If you sweat, that's good. See, we want to have the circulation. Bring your behind back. That's very important. If you sit down on a chair which doesn't exist. Now, let us be. It's only the beginning. It's important. Mr. Kevin, you're taking behind. Let's go. Yeah. We will do 1 more minute, but it's a little hard. Apples, which are very high. Get on your toes.
You have not yet gotten any apples. You are still on the ground. Please. And you need to move like this. Oh, Six, I know you're not the body. All right, this is good enough. Sit down.
I must explain to you, I'm really doing this not because of the exercise, but because of what happens now, where we need to be very alert. Whew. My God, is this good. Whew. Really, since I'm doing this, I'm sitting sometimes for more than 10 hours on the writing table, I make it a point to always break up in 10 after an hour, and then I usually do something which I will show you tomorrow. It's very, very good, very intense, but not everything at once. So I will take you now through an active exercise. I request you to have your... Did you bring your beads with you? Can you maybe put them on the lap, because we will use them. If you don't have the beads with you, it's not a problem. We can chant also without the beads, but most probably it's because you're accustomed with beads. It's good. So I would first like to do a simple Buddha Shuddhi meditation with you. Then, please open, keep the window open. Maybe you just, yeah. Very good. Yes. It's all right. You can. Oh, this is practical. Just tick. Yes. Very good. So, after we have done the Buddha Shuddhi meditation, it's something which helps us to become free from the physical identification. We will focus on sound vibration. I will guide you in doing this. We will enter a river of sound, ideally. And then I would like to do a verse meditation from the Bhajan Rahasya with you. It's very, very... very, very good. I should make this ready, really. It's very important. I'm just telling you now what we are going to do, but I have to be sure that all the elements are ready for me. So let me just find this. Yeah, here. Good. Please listen very carefully, because this is a point where you might make a mistake and where the verse meditation might not work so well. What I will do is, I will read to you a verse, and when I have come to the end of the verse, I will give you this sign. That means that you should now chant in one voice, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And while you chant, you should somehow keep that mood of the verse inside of you. These are all verses which guide us towards a humble state of mind. And then as you chant, you should first of all have entered into this mood which the verse gives you, and then keep this verse as you're chanting. So after some time when you're chanting, I will again give this sign, which means that I request you to stop chanting, because we will enter into the next verse meditation. it will become clear as I'm doing this, but it's good if I explain already now so that when I give you the commands, some of you will be in a different state of consciousness, then you know how to interpret and apply them. So at a certain stage, I will also ask you to move into the presence of Radha and Krishna. Let me explain what you should do at that time. I think all of us have deities which we serve or like or love. So mentally you envision these deities. For instance, I think many of you like Radha Syam Sunda in Vrindavan. And you can go in the Vrindavan temple in your mind and stand before the deities. And whatever happens, whatever I will tell you at that time, just keep on looking at the deities and stay there in your meditation. Don't worry, you won't have to remember anything of what I explain now to you. It's just so that when I tell you things to do, you don't need to think long, but you know what to do according to what you have heard saying. I have to also say, Gaurahari, you have the nature of meditating. That's very nice, but you will need to be there and look at me, because we will sing, and the same holds true for Manu. Huh? We need to be in contact. So, actually, I have to correct myself. When we do the japa, because we will do it very slow, you know, in one voice, you don't need your japa mala. I made a mistake. But so before we start, I request you to just look a little bit around in the room, because I will soon ask you to close your eyes and you can just see it for the last time. Krishna. I request you to sit tall now. The easiest way to sit tall is you imagine that there's a string here in the upper part of the head, and it pulls you a little up, and then you are tall, and then you roll your shoulders to the back to have an open chest. That's important because you will need to breathe, and we will breathe, and if we can breathe very nicely, we will be very focused. This, by the way, I strongly recommend this when you chant japa, to just look a little bit at posture. It helps so much if you can sit straight, and you just imagine someone will gently pull you up. You look straight like me now, and you just open your chest really by just rolling, bringing your shoulders up and then to the back, and then shoop. And you can sit like this for many hours. Then when again due to the mode of tamagun you're like this, you just imagine someone pulls you, and then you open your chest, and then you sit again. Good. I slowly request you to close your eyes now and to concentrate on deep inhales and exhales. It is easiest for you to deepen your breath if you just watch a little bit your exhale. You should really bring it all out, all that oxygen which is used up and is now no longer useful for the body, should really go out. And then breathe in through the nose and also breathe out through the nose. When you breathe in, you can imagine that your breath goes into the area of the heart. It's the place where we wish to meditate. And when you breathe out, you let all the tension go, which may be in your body or in your mind or in your life. Breathe in into the area of the heart and breathe out by letting the tension go out. Just to focus your mind, which was maybe on the many, many things today. When you breathe in, say in your mind, softly and gently, in. And when you exhale, say very softly and only in the mind, just think it out. This will help you to focus your mind and to make it one with the breath, you know, to connect it with the breath. Just kindly do a few in and outs and wait for further instructions. In and out. While you do this, I will read to you a verse composed by King Kula Shikar. Please listen to this and try to enter into the meaning of what it says to you at this stage. This body is attacked by miseries. Though it may look beautiful now, it will inevitably die and be transformed back into its five component elements. The earth in the body will go to the earth, the water to the water. The whole body will be given back to material nature. You may ask, what is the cure for death? Think deeply. The cure is to drink the powerful elixir of Krishna. Only Krishna can cure you from the disease of birth and death. Meditate. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my own misfortune, I have been inimical towards him from time immemorial. Oh, I have identified myself with my body, and I have wandered continuously in the cycle of birth and death in the material world. suffering, the burning, threefold miseries. But my fortune has turned. As a result of some unimaginable good fortune, I have met my spiritual master. And now I know that I am Krishna's eternal servant. I'm an individual spiritual being, completely apart from the gross and subtle body. Now I can serve the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. I'm not a man, I'm not a woman. I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. He is like an ocean of nectar. And now, my dear devotees, meditate about yourself as being in a pure spiritual body, dressed in the finest new cloth. You're decorated with a wonderful tilak, and you're marked with a holy name and anointed with sandalwood pulp around your neck. There's a beautiful garland. You are a pure servant. From this position, I request you to chant, but in a special way. This time, you should listen to every name which you chant. Should concentrate on every name for a whole mantra. There are 16 names in one mantra, and we will now concentrate on each single one of them. And as we complete one mantra, we will move into the new frame of a new mantra. And there, walk from one name to the next. To do this, you can imagine that you sit next to a river, Mother Ganga, and the names come by floating like a river of crystal clear, pure water. I will say it once alone, and when you hear your signal, this, then you say with me together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You need to concentrate on each name, right? Rama, Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Stop, please. You are not concentrating enough on each single name. It's very important when you say Hare, you are with Hare. When you say Krishna, you're with Krishna. We can see your mental energy is all not fixed really. Fix it on the name. Think the names are in a river of sound and you are now entering this river. Please start now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now stay in this place, but move towards your favorite deities, maybe before Radha Gopinath, maybe before Radha Syam Sundar, or maybe you have a favorite painting of Krishna in a favorite pose and next to him Radha Rani. Move in the divine presence and address them in your chanting, meditating simply about the one sentence, please accept me, please accept me. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, enter into the verse meditation, it's actually a humility exercise. We will hear 6 verses from the Stotra Ratna of the Yamunacharya, who was once a king but then became a very humble devotee. Listen and enter the spirit of these verses, and then on the sign, chant in that spirit. I'm not fixed in my spiritual practices, nor do I really know the truth of my spiritual nature. If I'm honest, I do not have any real devotion to your lotus feet. I have no qualifications. Only this one point is with me. I just know that I have no other shelter but you. You are the only worthy shelter. And so I take shelter at the base of your lotus feet. Are you not the most merciful? Are you not the savior of the most fallen? Please look at me. I am low. You are thus my only refuge, and I take shelter at your lotus feet. I am the servant, and you are my eternal master. Please accept me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O Infinite One, I have been drowning in this material ocean for so long, but now I have finally found the shore of this ocean, you. You too, O Lord, have today found the perfect recipient for your unlimited mercy, me. Please accept me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. Now I want to know, when will I rejoice at having you become my master and accept me as your eternal and single-minded servant? When will you accept me as your single-minded servant?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
O Lord Hari, I'm guilty of committing thousands and thousands of offenses. Can't you see? I'm drowning inside this terrible, turbulent ocean of material existence. I've lost my way, but I desire so much to find the right path, and so I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. Please accept me as your own out of your mercy alone. Please accept me as your own.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Folding my hands over my head, I beg you, I speak now very freely with the courage given me by humility. I have no other outlet. I turn to you. O ocean of mercy, O Lord, just look at me once with your compassionate glance.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
you can now wrap your hands, please. Cover your eyes and then bring the hands away from the eyes and look into the palms of your hands as if you see your hands for the first time. And then slowly return to room awareness. Now I request you to turn to your neighbor and discuss with your neighbor your experience and your realizations. And also, if you have so much realizations and so much experience, please let your neighbor also have a chance to tell you his or her realizations and experiences. This is very important because after you have done an exercise like this, it's good if you dialogue and mirror your experience in the, you know, with someone else, and also learn what the other experienced or thought, or even also and then it will become more clearer to you what went on. And as it becomes more clear, you can then engage in some of these practices if they come naturally to you during your japa chanting. For instance, you can read a verse in the sacred scripture, which is like this one, a prayer, and then you can chant in a prayerful mood and experience how your japa all of a sudden gets a heart and a pulse and some vitality and life, and is no longer a mechanical process. So kindly now turn to your neighbor, or if you really want to talk about this with a friend who you know, then you can get on, no, if you get on internet now, this is not the right mood. Find someone in the room to dialogue. We don't have so much time in for this exercise. You have about 7 minutes. Start now, please. You have 3 more minutes. 3 more minutes. So nice to see you discussing with each other. She's really... Some of you are moving the arms. So, can I please hear maybe 2 devotees or 3 devotees before we make the pause? What were their experiences doing this humility exercise? Not everyone at once, please. It's one Mataji. Yes, Mataji, please speak loud.
Yeah. I was thinking of the ocean, and when you said that Radha and Krishna by the shore, so I was like, when I was chanting Hare Krishna, I really felt myself in the ocean with all this wave crushing me, and I was trying to swim, and it was so hard. And then even when the waves were kind of like relaxed, I was still swimming and swimming and swimming. And then finally I see the shore, which is Radha and Krishna. And then I thought, could I be so foolish to think I don't want that and I want to go back and keep on swimming and struggling? And then I just thought, that's my goal, that's where I want to go, and just chant Hare Krishna with the whole determination and enthusiasm and just get back to Radha and Krishna.
Wonderful! Bravo! Wonderful! Thank you, Mataji. Yes, you're right. I mean, if you're swimming and you're drowning, and you see the shore of the ocean, you really know that's where I want to go. You really know that. That's why the acharyas, this is Yamunacharya, whom we heard, they give such graphic pictures where we can find ourselves, and then finally, like in our Mataji, some emotion can come, some feeling for our, I want this, one determination. This may be the your jewel which you got from this exercise, this determination. I really want to go. I really want to go. This, you know, we have this problem of compromised desires. It is so strong. It's so difficult to be strong with conflicting desires. One goes in this direction, one in the other. So you got in one direction, you wanted to go to the shore. Very good, very good. Anyone else would like to share? Yes, Gopal, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, please speak loud so that everyone could hear.
One thought that came to my mind while this exercise is going on was from what you were reading, was that sometimes I feel frustrated with the lack of receiving the result of our practice. But like you were saying before, what came to me is that I could just do the process and let the process do the work and be on the receiving end. So just engage in the process. Put my effort to do the process, but let the process do the work.
That you felt you could give yourself to the process, and you felt, okay, I'm now receiving whatever I'm receiving. Yeah. I think that's also a very important realization. Sometimes when I do this exercise, I relax my audience, and I will do this most properly the day after tomorrow, from, you know, this concentration on one name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And just, it's sometimes good to just let the mind go back and, you know, and no longer focus and do this effort, concentration effort, but just let the mantra go through the mind almost like a river who goes through a riverbed or particular section of the riverbed, with the exception that now our mind is that receptacle through which the mantra just flows, and just be in that waves of that ocean, and the waves of the river, and that let that work. See, if there is something to be gained from such practices, it's really this one little thing, that you are mindful of the practice, that you are not absent-minded any longer. And the moment you are totally there, realization comes by the mercy of the holy names. But we often suffer from this dilemma that we do something and we chant more or less as victims of the automatic process, but our mind is either switched off, which is mostly there. I call it the halava overdoses mind, you know. or the mind is somewhere else. But if you connect your attention with the mantra will work wonders. Thank you very much. We now have a pause. It is a disciplined pause of 10 minutes. And then, that is 5 minutes past one, we will start our group japa session. It's very important that we are all together. If you come late, no problem, but please silently find your place. But it's important that we all come together. And there will be Now we can talk for 10 minutes or something, or walk and do. But after 10 minutes, there will be concentrated japa. Hare Krishna. When they sit down for the japa, then I will announce it again.
Head trouble.